One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow. Roll with the punches. Yeah, that's one thing I know.
With the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're coming at you from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub back in the old Beverly neighborhood. This is show number 133. We're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, Guinness, and Chicago Firefighters Local 2. And as you know, the show is dedicated to our Irish first responders because we feel that they are the mythological equivalent to our modern-day ancient mythological Irish warriors. I screwed that up somehow, but anyway, we made a decision just recently because we've been doing firefighters and cops and paramedics to include nurses because nurses are first responders. Am I right? Yes. So the first nurse in our first responder series is the lovely Lauren Cantinella, an old friend of ours. Not old, but longtime friend.
Yeah, not old.
So glad you're here. 2014 Queen of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. That's where we met.
Yes.
She was in the contest for 10 years.
I was.
That shows great character that you stuck it out.
You
that
don't
long.
Miss a beat, Hooli, do you?
You stuck it out and said no. And finally won.
Yeah.
You were probably in your last year of eligibility, were you?
I was 27.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so right up there.
Okay. So now, when did you decide to become a nurse? 6 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, I've been a nurse for 6 years. I graduated from St. Xavier University.
What neighborhood? You grew up in Blue Island.
I grew up in Blue Island.
What parish are you from?
St. Benedict's.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then where'd you go to high school?
I went out to Marian Catholic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Aren't you a sportswoman there?
Yeah, I did cheerleading for Marian Catholic, and then I went on to Illinois State, and I cheered there as well.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
And then right after graduating, I entered EMT and paramedic school.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
I did. And then made the jump right into nursing school right after.
Well, and the interesting thing is, let me just give some stats. Lauren Cantinella is a registered pediatric hematology-oncology nurse at the University of Chicago Comer Children's Hospital in Hyde Park. She graduated from St. Xav's with a BSN in nursing and recently obtained her MSN.
Yeah.
Yeah. In nursing education from Chamberlain University. She has practiced as a nurse for the past 6 years and found her passion caring for her little warriors and their families navigating cancer treatment. Well, that's what I find so engaging about this is it's all kids.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, you had pictures that one that just broke my heart was one of your patients, Isabel.
Yeah.
Tell us about Isabel.
So during my first year as a nurse, I met Isabel Lopez, and she was the first patient that I cared for. So I was learning, and she was 15 at the time.
Yeah.
Died 2 years later.
Wow.
But battled cancer.
She went to St. Lawrence, or she was from neighborhood kid.
Yeah, she was. She was. Yeah. Great family. Has a younger sister, Alexis. Mom, Vicky. And they're just wonderful. They're wonderful people. And
so when you get a patient like that, you spend 2 years with them on and off every day. What's the
deal? Yeah, I mean, they get diagnosed they're there for treatment. They're getting chemo. She had a stem cell transplant.
Wow.
So she really went through the thick of it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
poor kid.
You know,
I'm just reading. They dedicated, evidently she loved dancing.
Yeah.
Was just a dynamo herself.
She was.
And they named a street after her, Honorary Isabel Lopez Way, over on 52nd Street.
Yeah, that's where she's from, and that's where her house is located. And they had a big ceremony, and the whole community...
the alderman had a sign made for her and everything.
Yeah, they put ribbons on the trees, and everyone came out to support her and the family. So it was beautiful. But yeah, they were a great family, and... I was learning as a new nurse how to be a nurse.
And she was only 15.
And she was 15, but she was patient to, you know, to walk me through and just tell me how she, you know, preferred to be cared for.
Yeah.
And just kind of led me down that path to be, you know, a strong patient advocate.
One of the things that you did for her is you were the queen in 2014, and you obviously had told her this and.
Yeah.
One night, you brought the whole outfit over there.
Yeah,
the cape, the crown, the sash.
Everything.
And you dressed her up in it. The picture just breaks your heart.
Oh, yeah. She loved hearing all about the Irish stuff, wanted to hear all about the parade.
Yeah.
And after, that was 2014 when I won, so I was still doing things, you know, a year or two later with the union and the St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she loved to hear all about that.
Yeah.
And she said, can you bring it in? And I brought it in. I was still working night shift. So
yeah.
I brought it in, and she put it all on, and she just laid in her bed in it. She loved
Whoa,
it.
Wow, did she really?
Yeah. We did a couple of things. Like, she missed her homecoming, and all the nurses, we put on some music and went in her room and danced and had a
God
big party.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah.
You know, all the things that she was missing out on, we tried to make the best of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a bond with this kid, and then she died.
Yeah.
Does that happen a lot? A lot of your patients, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for as many, unfortunately, the ones that we take care of the most are the ones who aren't doing well.
Yeah.
A lot of the ones who tend to respond to treatment, they tend to shift towards the outpatient setting. So they come in and they get their chemotherapy and then they...
The lucky ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the ones that we do see, our perception is somewhat skewed because we see the sick of the sick. And then our ones that do well go off and live their lives, and we don't hear how well they're doing because then they're gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, it's challenging.
I can imagine.
Yes.
Do you ever get up some mornings and go, oh, I can't go in there? And, oh my God.
Yeah, I think as a new grad, you go in and you're just so excited to finally be done with nursing school because it's so grueling. The 4 years of nursing school, I think it's in the Guinness Book of Records as the hardest undergrad.
Oh, really?
Between the tests, the clinical hours, the independent study, everything that you have to do, the prerequisites in order to complete the programs are pretty extensive. So I think that first year of nursing, you're just happy to be done with it. You're happy, you know, you're learning everything. It's all new.
Mm-hmm.
That does slowly wear off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still passionate about it. I still love being a nurse.
Good for you.
I don't see myself doing anything different.
Yeah.
I could see myself shifting the degree and using it in more.
You're doing God's work, basically. Yeah.
Thanks.
Now, tell me, now your name's Lauren Cantanella, and people go, she's not Irish. Your mom's Irish.
Your dad
is half Irish.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So that's what that's all about. I don't want to hear any lip from anybody that she's not Irish. but you have the Irish spirit with you as well. And it's just amazing that... See, this is the example of why we pick nurses as first responders, because you're out there really on the front lines fighting for these people, risking your own life to a certain degree to help them and their families. Oh, I just want to mention, you were awarded the Brittany McKinney Award for Excellence in Pediatric Oncology Nursing. And that was, what, 2020, right?
Yes, yeah.
And it was also a special receiving award during the pandemic, considering the World Health Organization named 2020 the Year of the Nurse.
Mm-hmm.
That World Health Organization, that's a commie front as far as I'm concerned.
Uli.
So, take a shot at them. You see the guy who runs it. It's like, put this guy in jail. Okay, so you recently got engaged to Tim Rosario DeSimo.
Yeah,
DeSimone.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Where'd you meet him?
We actually met at Illinois State.
Oh, you guys were in college.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but he didn't like me back then.
He wanted for you to blossom.
Yeah, he wanted a queen.
Yeah. Ah, that's good. Yeah. Well, he got one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what does he do for a living? Does he have a job?
He does.
I hope.
Oh, man. The Italians. He does have a job.
Okay.
He is a project manager for Foundation Mechanics. It is a small female-owned construction company.
Oh.
And he's worked for them for several years, and he loves his job.
Is he from the net? Where'd he grow up?
He grew up in Batavia.
Oh, okay.
And went to Marmion Academy.
Yeah. Sure. He's a military guy.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. Now, tonight you have your mom, Kathy, your dad, Dominic, who I've known for years.
Oh, yeah.
Your sister, Nikki, and her husband, Chris Mulcrone, is here. And your aunt, Lois Gates. Yeah, she's a superstar. She's been with Misericordia for years, and I
50 years.
Bump into her with Sister Rosemary, so she's an old friend as well.
Yeah, and also a former nurse.
Oh, is she? I did not know that. Yeah. So you got 6 years in. And you're a young lady. You probably will do this the rest of your life, I would assume, until you retire.
Yeah, whether it's at the bedside or using my master's to teach.
Now, you just got some degree. What was that?
So I have my master's in nursing education.
Wow.
So I have plans.
So that means you teach other nurses?
Yep.
Oh,
nursing
wow.
students going through or potentially using it within the medical center as a nurse educator for inpatient nurses.
Yeah.
So any type of new med or new equipment that gets brought in,
you would
offer training.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I also have to say my mom's friend, Cindy's here, and she is a Chicago firefighter.
All right, Cindy. Look at you're going to have to come on the show down the line.
Lieutenant, right?
Oh.
Roberts Park. Yeah, Roberts Park Fire Department.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
She's phenomenal.
Well, we want her on the show. Is she Irish? Okay, good. Okay. All right, good. All right, so take me through a day. You know, what's your day? You're working days now?
I'm on day shift.
Okay.
So
did you work today?
I did not work today. I worked tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh. So it's 3/12s.
What's that mean, 3/12?
3 12-hour shifts a week, seven to seven.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I do a lot of overtime, so I'm there more frequently. But alarm goes off at, 5:15, 5:20.
Where you live in Logan Square.
Yeah,
right?
We're in Logan Square.
So that's a hike over to Hyde Park.
It's not too bad. It's actually better than, I actually just sold my home in Oak Lawn.
Oh, did you?
I was in St. Linus Parish.
Yeah.
Was where I bought my first home, but I sold it right after we got engaged, and I moved to the city with Tim. So the commute's better, I would say, because we're right off of Fullerton, and I can jump on the highway and cruise right in.
Oh, that's right. You get right on Lakeshore Drive.
Right over there. Yep.
I went to Mount Carmel, which is right near there. It's right 64th and Stony.
The caravan.
That's right. Glad you remembered.
Yeah. The other MC.
Yeah. What's the MC?
Marian Catholic.
Oh, Marian Catholic. That's right. Oh, excuse him. Wow. All right. So you go in. What time do you get there?
I'm usually there by 6:45.
Wow.
And we get report at 7, and then night shift exits, and day shift takes over care.
And so when you get there, they say, someone's taken a turn for the worse, or does it, you get that information?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, pet calls are called right at 7 o'clock in the morning.
If What's that pet calls?
Like a pediatric emergency response team.
Oh my
God. If someone's not doing well, that happens, 24/7. So you just kind of go with the flow. But for the most part, you get report, you go through your patient's charts, see all the orders, write down all the meds. And then you go in and you take vitals and do your first assessments. And so we have anywhere from 3 to 4 patients.
And these kids all have cancer.
For the most part. The other half of the unit is a Gen Peds unit. And so I can
What's
be
that?
Split. General pediatrics, so any type of issue.
Yeah.
Asthma.
Oh, wow.
If they fell and broke their arm.
Oh, yeah.
You name it, we see it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But traumas, all the gunshot wounds.
Oh, and you're right in Hyde Park, so you get a lot of that.
City
Holy
of Chicago God. In the summer is
pretty
active.
All these young kids are getting plugged.
I know.
We can
awful.
Thank our mayor, Lori Lightfoot, for that.
Holy.
You don't forget, we represent the police, and they give me an earful on her.
Yeah.
But it's such a shame. Anytime a kid is in jeopardy.
I know.
It's upsetting.
It is upsetting. Yeah. It is upsetting that our communities can't be more safe. And that there's not a better relationship with our police officers
yeah.
who go to work with the best of intentions.
Good for you. That's right. And that's yeah. what this show is all about. Now, have you, you're there 6 years. Have you found yourself, I mean, that puts you in touch with your faith, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I you look at it and you're just like, God, how could this happen to these yeah. kids? How can this, you know, why isn't there a cure at
yeah.
this point?
Yeah.
But that's not my question. You know, my role.
Well, there are people that have theories that there's no cure because the pharmaceutical companies are making money. You know, it's cheaper. They make more money, you know, treating it rather than curing it. But I don't know.
I know. How the system is organized is not ideal.
Yeah.
And those poor kids are just caught up in the thick of it.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm just there to be an ally.
Good for you.
So.
Yeah. And do these kids ever say, Lauren, what happened? Why did it happen to me? Or
yeah. You know, a lot of them, it depends on that the age frame of my patients. So the young ones, I almost am grateful that they're young and experiencing it because their parents, for the most part, are traumatized by
absolutely.
It. They tend to not remember a lot of it, but the older ones, definitely. They're the ones that you have to worry about, their siblings, and just feelings like the self-esteem, the confidence, the losing of hair, the skin changes.
Yeah.
A lot of them are on steroids, and even if they're not overeating, they, you know, gain weight. So, like, they're very in tune with how they look, and that's totally aligned with
their age. They're adolescents and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the things that they miss out on a day-to-day basis, and they're just not, in the sense, normal living their own lives outside of the hospital. So, at that point, we have a great child life program that steps up and brings activities to their room if they're on isolation and they can't go down to the playroom.
What kind of activities?
We have the Wii. If they're into like Lululemon does
What's
a lot.
What's the Wii?
Like a Nintendo type game.
Oh, okay.
They try to pair them up if they're allowed to, based on their ISO status, pair them up with other like
patients?
Children.
Oh,
yep, on the
yeah,
unit,
okay.
And they can hang out together.
Yeah.
They do movies. They do bingo. Anything to get them engaged.
To stop thinking about the whole situation.
Yeah. They have a healing garden, and then there's camp in the summer for oncology patients, Camp One Step. And so a lot of them get to go to camp for, you know, a week
or two.
Where
do they go?
I believe it's in Wisconsin.
Oh, so they go away.
Yeah, they go away. Yep.
Oh, man.
Depending on how what they're doing in their treatments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you do a lot of taking blood and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, lots of blood products, lots of platelets. All you name it, we're giving it. Lots of chemotherapy. We have a radiation.
Chemotherapy is brutal, right?
It is brutal.
Yeah.
It is brutal. You're basically giving, you know, someone toxins.
Yeah.
But it's what's killing those, you know, cancerous cells.
Yeah.
So.
Now, what inspired you to do that? Was it your Aunt Lois, maybe? She was a nurse, I guess, and, you know.
I mean, definitely a life of service, definitely a life for others, I guess.
God bless
following
you.
Her example in that sense.
Yeah.
But always just wanting to help. Just my parents are both helpful people, always doing things for others. So I think that just kind of ran its course.
They like to party too, I know
that. They do. They have a good time. They have a great time.
Good for them.
Yeah. So I love being a nurse and
So you're the first nurse in our first responders program. Will you help us recruit other
Absolutely.
Nurses? Yeah,
okay. I have lots of friends.
Do you really?
I do.
I'm not shocked that you have a lot of friends, but they have to be Irish nurses.
I know a few.
Okay, all right. We don't want any Polacks.
No.
Just kidding, folks. Just joking. Of course we want Polish nurses. But that's kind of the theme of the show. Well, that's good because we need to recruit. You know, somebody called me the other day and said, I got a nurse for you. And I called her the other day and she answered the phone. Went, hello. And she sounds hungover. You know,
was she a night shift?
I'm not going to give her name because she hopefully will be a guest on the show down the line. Yeah.
Well, we do have wild hours.
Yeah.
And even myself, Tim laughs. I'll pick up overtime and it's not uncommon for me to set alarms and get moving at 1 a.m. and go in early. We're just short staffed. Resources are thin everywhere.
Why?
I do think that bedside,
is there a lack of nurses?
There is a touch of a lack of nurses, but then also I feel like people are shifting away from the bedside. So you have a lot of people going to be nurse practitioners.
What's the difference?
Well, a nurse practitioner will operate underneath a physician's license, and they can prescribe, and and they'll be in clinic, so not at the bedside.
Yeah.
Doing bedside nursing.
Yeah, that's the tough stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's not as many of us, I would say, and then the job is hard. It's a lot on your body, 12 hours on your feet, moving.
Oh, wow.
And then dealing, especially in pediatrics, dealing not only with your patient, but their parents, their siblings.
Yes.
The whole family comes through.
And they're all freaking out. And,
rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, you can't judge them for that. I would be the same way if my family member was in the hospital.
Sure, yeah.
So.
It's got to be quite an experience. And you've been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe you'll get a perspective on it and write a book or anything? Or I mean,
when I started nursing, I thought I should really write down some of these quotes that people say things that happen that are so funny. I had a little kid give me the middle finger one time, and I still just think it's so funny. Like, I have a photo of it, and I'm just like,
oh, you took a photo of it?
I did. I had to.
Yeah.
Because he's like 3 years old, and you know that that's just like a learned behavior.
Yes.
And he means nothing by it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to sing him his ABCs while I'm giving him his meds, and he's just giving me the finger, and I'm like, this is just so funny.
Funny.
The kids are so cute.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, that's what breaks your heart, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ones that are, you know, have a great support system, I'm always thankful for. The ones that don't have that support system and are by themselves, those are the ones that I tend to give a little extra love to.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Do you see some of them, like, shutting down and just like,
Yeah, I think they go through
ups and downs
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now let's get some perspective on the St. Patrick's Day Parade Queen Contest.
Sure.
It's still going on. You know, the plumbers hate me now.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like, because I wrote a book. I worked for Chuy Garcia against Rahm Emanuel, who I hated. And I wrote a book, Nothing's on the Square. And the plumbers, well, they didn't like that. So, yeah. So
am I going to be in trouble for being on the show?
I hope not, but I can see that happening. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you want me to be blacklisted?
They're not listening. You were doing it under duress, Helen.
Okay.
But they got mad at me because, hey, you know what? I thought, hey, you know, for your $75 a week, I'm sorry, you don't own me. Personalities change. I think I'm sure there'll be a new guy eventually. I went through a whole bunch of guys at the Plumbing Council, but we had some fun. I can tell
you
that.
We
had
a
lot of fun.
Yeah. The 2 years on court leading up to my queen year was so much fun
because
then you're not queen and you just get to
hang
back
out
and be at all the events.
You don't have to worry about the decorum or any of that stuff. Yeah.
No one's looking at me. I'm just there. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, we had so much fun. Yeah. And then we used to do the golf outings every year, and that's just a riot. Skinny should be here. I should have.
Yeah, I saw him the other day.
Oh,
actually.
Did you?
Yeah, he was at Porter Cullen's. He gets around.
What's Porter Call?
It's a restaurant, Porter Cullen's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I was there with my family having a birthday party, and he was there as well.
Okay, he's doing good. We're trying to get him to go to Ireland with us in October. But it's interesting. Well, you saw the film I did about Her Majesty the Queen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's always been a fascinating behind-the-scenes thing for me.
I'm fascinated by it, and I went through it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of fun to see it after already, you know, completing my year as queen and just seeing how it has, you know, it's just blown up.
All right, now I'm going to tell this story. I'm not going to say any names.
Oh, gosh.
But Skinny and I used to have all the queens at the Classic Charities golf outing every year, okay? And it was a lot of fun. And 1 year, there was Colleen Nolan, all our favorites were with us.
Yeah.
And there was one gal who was a queen, a little bit of a snot, and who will remain nameless. But I noticed that the girls weren't coming together and hanging out with her. And I finally said to you, what's the deal with that? And you said, she treated us like blank. I went, whoa. It was great.
Oh, holy.
That's what I said. I love this kid. No, it was great. No, I didn't mention any names, but that's the beauty of the whole relationships and everything. It's crazy. And people from all walks of life, the queens and everything. Now, yeah. Do you still see any of those gals?
All the time.
Oh, do you really?
Well, COVID kind of put the kibosh on a lot of our gatherings. Yeah, but for the most part, we do make a lot of effort to see each other a couple times throughout the year, and then especially around March.
Oh, then there's like the reunion thing.
We have our former Queen's Luncheon.
Yeah. Used to call it the old Queen's Luncheon, and then they thought that was some kind of a other thing.
I know. Yeah. The last couple of years, it's been at, I want to say, Joe's.
Yeah, because O'Brien's closed.
Yeah, that was so unfortunate.
Joe's on Weed Street?
Joe's Steak, seafood, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Stone Crab.
Yeah, Joe's Stone Crabs. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Coyne hosts all the previous queens, and we go there together, and then we play Last Queen Standing. So
what's that?
Well, we just hang out with each other.
Oh, who can hang on the longest?
Yeah, we hang on.
Oh, that's funny. Pete Nolan's daughter was a queen years and years and years ago. He was my partner for years.
Okay.
Kara Nolan. Do you remember Kara? I don't know what year that was.
I don't know that name.
That had to have been in the late 80s. But it was the same, They used to have the contest at the Hilton.
Okay. Yeah. That was before.
We were all in Kitty O'Shea's, and I was there with Pete and Skinny, and there was a woman there who was PO'd because her daughter did not get picked, and she's over there swilling out of a, and she's giving Skinny the stink eye, and I went, "You're in trouble."
Well, I mean, I feel like everyone wants their daughter to be the queen, and why not?
Yeah.
You know, it's such a great experience.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it can only be one each year, but I think that's what makes it so special.
Well, God bless you. You hung in there for 10 years.
I know. I had to put in my work. I know.
Well, that's, you know what? You got backbone. That's why you can do what you're doing now.
Or maybe they just caved. I don't know.
Is it all right? Enough.
Yeah. Enough already. Yeah. We see you from Blue Island.
Yeah, that's right. Has there ever been another queen from Blue Island?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Your folks still living out there?
They are.
Oh, God bless them.
They split their time between Blue Island and Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, they're retired, living their best lives.
Yeah. Do you remember Eddie's Jolly Inn, Dom, Blue Island? He's giving me the evil eye now. Okay. It's a bar that I could get served at when I was 12, I think. all right, so we want to wish you the best.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're getting married in December.
No, we got engaged in December. I'm getting married in June.
Oh, it's next June.
June 4th, 2022.
At Old St. Pat's.
St. Pat's.
Who's marrying you? Do you know yet?
I don't know.
Okay, because Father Hurley left. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
I don't know what happened.
Wish him all the best.
Oh, he's a terrific guy.
He's wonderful.
Yeah. And then, well, I'm not going to tell you where the reception is. I know where
it is. Oh, that's okay. It'll be at the Chicago Cultural Center.
Oh, good. That's a nice spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that you had to wait for them to open up again, I'm sure.
I did. Yeah, the site visit to, you know, put the deposit down for the reception. It took forever
to get in.
And then, well, that's because, you know, Kate, my Irish mother, she saved all her money.
God bless her.
So that we can have it there. All those years working at Jewel.
When I got married, I paid for the wedding, me and my wife.
Tim, because are you going to pay?
My wife's father was dead. Oh. But I didn't have to meet him or get, you know, I didn't have to get examined or anything. That was a
examined
good. Well, you know, just what do you do for a living? I'm an actor. Hit the bricks, you know. But we're still married 43 years later.
There you go.
Yeah.
Congrats.
You still have a lot of fun, and you will too.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Or I'm just gonna terrorize them for the next 60 years.
60. Yeah. Well, that's what you want
before we go into our forever boxes.
Your forever boxes. So, you're going to stay at Comer then? That's your plan? To stay there?
I think so. I think we're going to stay in Logan for the next, 7 to 10 years and then find somewhere to go.
No, I mean Comer Children's Hospital.
Yeah, I'll stay at Comer. No plans to leave just yet. But hopes to use my master's degree and teach in some sort of way.
So, who's in charge of the nurses at the hospital?
It's Emily Chase.
And what is she, the head nurse?
She is the CNO, Chief Nursing Officer. For the University of Chicago Medical Center.
How long has she been there?
Quite some time, and I know she has previous experience at Lori's, I believe, in their PICU. So she's
Lori's Steakhouse?
Lori's.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
I know.
Lori Children Hospital. Lori, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So she's a great representation of the nursing community and leading us at UCMC.
UCMC.
Yeah, University of Chicago Medical Center.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But Comer, how many kids are in Comer?
On my floor specifically, it's a 29-bed unit.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
But throughout the hospital, it's a couple hundred. Our NICU is the largest.
What's NICU?
The neonatal intensive care
unit.
Oh,
sure.
They're very, very large. And then, you know, we have the fifth floor and the sixth floor, and their sixth floor is gen peds, hematology, oncology.
General pediatrics.
Yep. And the fifth floor is half gen peds, and then neurology.
Okay.
And then we have our ICU, the PICU, the pediatric intensive care unit, and then our pediatric emergency room.
Do you still have your dog?
I do. Emerald.
Emerald.
Emmy.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. She's, since we
I remember you doing all these Facebook posts about your dog. I went, all right, take it easy.
I know. But that girl has put me through the ringer.
I'll bet.
Yeah. She been sick? Two torn ACLs.
Oh, wow.
Within
How does
one
a dog
year?
Get an ACL?
Ask Tim.
He's been torturing the dog.
No, she tore her first ACL, and then 1 year later, we were at Tim's Lake House in Wisconsin, and she was just chasing after a ball and tore the next one. And so, yeah, she's quite expensive.
How old is Emerald?
She'll be five November 22nd.
Wow. That's 35 in dog years.
I know. Don't talk about it.
Okay. Well, we wish you all the luck in the world. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Julie.
I got to tell you, that story about Isabel just broke my heart, but it was so great that you did that for that kid.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Yeah. She is wonderful.
And I'm sure she appreciated it, and I'm sure she's in heaven.
She
you
is,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have people up there watching out for you.
I know.
You
know. When we got engaged, her mom sent me a lovely text and just
said, really?
I know she's up there so happy and excited for you.
Oh, God bless her.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Good family. The Lopez family.
Yes.
Yeah. Southsiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Southsiders.
You know, you can take the kid out of the South Side, but you never take the South Side out of the kid.
That's right.
Okay. Good. All right. Lauren Cantanella, our first Irish nurse, first responder. So glad that you broke the ice with us.
Right.
Yeah. And keep in touch. Keep us, and get us some more guests.
Always. I will.
And,
for sure.
And God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
And Tim, he's a very lucky guy. And so we will see you again soon.
Absolutely, Julie. All thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, sweetheart. God bless you. Are we going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio right after these messages from our friends?
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. We are back at the Cork and Carry Saturday night. That's not, well, Saturday night, you're listening. And we just had a lovely talk with the one and only Lauren Catanella. 2014 Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade Queen. And now, a nurse, an award-winning nurse, and just the sweetest gal you'd ever want to meet. Her husband is a very lucky guy, her fiance, Tim. But lots of stuff happening that I want to plug. Now, an interesting thing. Our old pal Richard Driehaus, who died in March, used to have this incredible party every year out in Lake Geneva, and he would invite me, and he'd have a huge fireworks display. Well, he died, I think, March 9th. And through some trick of fate, Hibernian Media has received a couple of grants from old Richard from up above. He's been looking out for us from up above. Anyway, Saturday night in Lake Geneva, they're going to have the farewell fireworks, Richard H. Driehaus, 1942 to 2021. So Patty and I, my son Patty and I, and my grandson Mikey are headed out there to watch the fireworks in honor of our old pal, Richard H. Driehaus. You couldn't meet a nicer guy. And go to MikeHoulihan.com. You can read the obit I wrote on him. What a great guy. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, the Knights of Columbus, St. Michael the Archangel, Chicago Police Council, number 12173. Chicago Police Department, KC, at gmail.com. The first and only police council. They're having a huge fundraiser for the 23rd anniversary, which is August 14th at Mayfield Banquet, 6027 West Archer. All you can eat, open bar, door prizes, dancing, music, raffle table, and more. Tickets are $100. Table of 10 is a grand. They're 501c8. Anyway, you get a tax write-off. Great organization. Our friend Dennis Fitzgerald sent this. Probably going to try and get over there that night. Because, hey, it's all you can eat. But if you can't, get over there. Get in touch with Terry Cornell. What is he? I have his, more on that later. Don't forget the Emerald Society of Illinois is honoring yours truly, Mike Houlihan, as the 2020 and 2021 Emerald Society Irishman of the Year. Now, I got to say, Monday night, we were at the FOP Lodge for the Emerald Society Rib Fest. It was a blast. My sons, Billy and Patty, went with me. We ate several slabs of ribs, talked with all our cop pals. We saw Jeff Lang, saw Billy Donnelly, Kevin Forrest. It's a plethora of Irish coppers, and we also had a nice chat with our old pal John Catanzara, telling us about the negotiations. And it was interesting because we had just had Paul Vallis on the show, so great people. But that has nothing to do with them honoring me. And now also another great thing. Our old friend Katie Grennan has a thing that she's involved with called Sharing Notes. And what they do, they're having a big fundraiser July 30th over at Chief O'Neill's, which is just a slice of heaven out in the backyard. They're having an evening of live music you won't want to miss, featuring Steam. And that's the group name for John Williams, Katie Grennan, Steve Marlowe, and Jeff Lindblade. Also, Jimmy Keane, the one and only Jimmy Keane on the Squeeze Box. Rachel Gribben and James Riley. Nora Bird, songstress. And Steve Martin, the banjo player. Violet Moore, Sophie Pagny, and Jim Dewan, the great Jim Dewan. What a lineup. And it's July 30th. Doors open at 6:30. It's a fundraiser for Sharing Notes. And Sharing Notes, what they do, it's to improve the quality of life for patients in Chicago hospitals through intimate, engaging, and uplifting live music performances. They provide 80 performances each year in four Chicago area medical facilities: La Rabida Children's Hospital, Robert H. Lurie Comprehensive Cancer Center of Northwestern, Ann and Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, and Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern. They should have Comer in there too. But anyway, what they do is they go and play Irish music for these people, and it's just terrific. So check that out. What's their, do they have an email on here? You can call Chief O'Neill's to make reservations, 773-IRELAND. And that's our old friends Siobhan and Brendan McKinney. But that's July 30th. That's next week. So if you want to get out, you want to get on that, it's only $20, I think, to get in. And it's a great fundraiser for Sharing Notes. So help them out. I'm going to try and get over there, too. But I can't do everything. Send them a check. If you can't, send a check, right? What the heck? Okay. So I think I got all the plugs in there, Sharing Notes. Don't forget Weeping Jim. We're still working on that. Weeping Jim. We're also going a trip to Ireland in October. Check out the Irish American News. We've got a big ad in there. We're going from October 20th to the 27th. We're going to be in Dublin, Galway for 3 nights. And then Westport to premiere our film, In Search of Weeping Jim. And then back to the Fitzpatrick Castle in Killiney, just outside Dublin. Katie Grennan's going with us. We're going to have the time of your lives. And so if you want to join, check out that ad in the Irish American News. It's cheap. And it's first class all the way. Let me tell you, it's always first class hotels. Get a couple of free meals along the line. And the crack is free. The crack is free. So you're going to have a blast. And now, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's, Ronk's, Hart's, any of those great Irish saloons, or the Cork and Kerry, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. And he says to me, "Hey, holy, who died?" Only got two this week because my old pal PJ, he gave me two. John F. Flannery, age 92, of Park Ridge. 92, God bless him. He's the beloved husband of the late Catherine, the loving father of Colleen, Johnny, Aaron, the late Kevin, Brian, Michael, the late Patrick, Laura, Tina, Jenny, Barbara, Paula, Mac, and Lisa. That's an amazing family. Also the devoted grandfather of 19. The great-grandfather of 12. And the dear brother of the late Edward and the late Eileen. John enjoyed a successful legal career at the law firm of Fitch, Even, Tabin, and Flannery. Check it out in the Sun-Times. Maureen O'Donnell just had a terrific obit about John, but I wasn't able to access that because the Sun-Times puts a firewall up there, probably because they know I used to work there and they don't want me getting anything for free. So, but Maureen O'Donnell, I love her, and she writes the best obits in town. So anyway, God rest his soul, John F. Flannery, 92, of Park Ridge. Also, Robert McCann Sr., age 93, Army veteran from Lombard, formerly Chicago, beloved husband of the late Marion, and loving father of Janine, Karen, and Robert Jr., dearest brother of Regina, John Mack, and Mary Catherine. He's a retired general foreman for the Chicago Public Works Department and a member of the Chicago Plumbers Union Local 130. Our guys. And he's a member of VFW 5815. He grew up in Presentation Parish on the west side and attended St. Philip's High School. He and his late wife, Marion, were residents at Lexington Lombard Senior Community. Prior to that, they lived in Jefferson Park for 47 years and they're members of St. Constant Parish. Spending time with the McCann clan was one of his greatest joys. He was a great storyteller, proud to participate in Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade with Local 130 each year, and giving a shout-out to Local 130. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't know Lauren Cantanella or any of these great people, and we wouldn't have a parade. Speaking of which, those people lived in a senior housing, and I was talking to a friend of mine today, whose father, Robert Hostey, was an old friend of mine who had a birthday. He's in heaven, of course. So we sent him a note on Facebook, and she said, "Huli, I can't believe I'm missing all the great stories," because her dad would probably be, I live in senior housing myself. And she said, "My dad would be busting chops there with you and Frank Kevel," who used to own Kevel's Bar right there. I said, "Frank is like the custodian of our building." And she wrote back and said, "Yeah, Code Brown in the lobby." I thought, that's it exactly. So hi to Alice Hostey. She sent that. She cracked me up. All right, we're going to take a break. And we'll be right back with some Hula Town and some music and everything else. So stick around on Hibernian Radio.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
Deep, deep in deep, the south deep. Side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All
deep.
The way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here,
a
please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This
yeah.
is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? Teeth.
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hoolytown, my favorite place, everybody. And I'm wondering, Billy, could you please give me a hand with
this door. Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Jillian Anderson, she's not wearing a bra anymore. I don't care if my breasts reach my belly button.
Who cares?
Chicago rapper KTS Dre shot at least 64 times outside jail. He had a Target tattoo on his neck.
Who cares?
Are Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker engaged? Fans think so.
Who cares?
Queen Elizabeth II's grandson-in-law Mike Tindall broke up a fight at the Euro Cup finals.
Who cares?
Drew Barrymore drops flirty comment on Leonardo DiCaprio's climate change post.
Who cares?
Prince William and Prince Harry likely won't be having quality family time together over the holidays, royal expert claims.
Who cares?
And finally, yikes! Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot calls Twitter rumors homophobic, racist, and misogynist.
Who cares?
Close it up! Wait, let me climb up on your shoulder and get that latch at the top. I got it. Thank you. One final joke. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of dust on that door. A man wakes up in the morning. He's deeply repentant after a bitter fight with his wife the previous night. He noticed with dismay the crate of beer bottles that had caused the fight. Took it outside and started smashing the empty bottles one by one onto the wall. He smashed the first bottle, swearing, "You're the reason I fight with my wife." He smashed the second bottle, "You're the reason I don't love my children." He smashed the third bottle. "You're the reason I don't have a different job." When he took the fourth bottle, he raised it to the bottle. He realized the bottle was still sealed and was full. He hesitated for only a moment and said, "You stand aside. I know you weren't involved." Okay. Great night out here. Our thanks to Lauren Cantanella and her family. God bless them all. Tim, you're a lucky guy. And we will be back next week. See you later. Bye.
Oh, and then I wondered. Yes, I wondered. Oh, Lord, I wondered. Will I look down the road? And I wondered. Just to see how far I was from God. And I started walking just to see how far I was from gold. All right. I'm a sailor.